the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutyampi Tatyampi Savaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by a compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 brave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
So what should we look at this morning? Scott.
Super grateful to be on retreat and really grateful for practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I've been looking at is just the training and looking at process rather than getting stuck in content.
Yes. Yes. The training to look at process rather than getting stuck in content.
Yeah, and it's just fun to...
We need it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
We
have a big room.
Yeah, thanks for the reminder. Yeah, and what's fun is to be practicing, and then it's almost like the training goes on without... Well, maybe it always goes on without a someone.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then I just become aware that life's living, that the transformation is going on, and
yes.
I'm really just noticing.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. So the transformation is going on, life's living, and there's actually just noticing that maybe there doesn't have to be a someone there to be training and to be figuring it all out, that life is just...
Yeah, exactly. It's like the transformation is happening despite me. I guess when I just saw that, because... And I was just thinking, like, you know, before practice, this thing would happen where it's almost like I'm driving down the road and then I drive into a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know I'm in a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm driving down the ditch and it's like, this isn't going well. You know, it's really bumpy. I'm like sideways, my neck hurts. And I just can't, it's like, you know, and at least for me, I'd go to, well, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like anyone on the outside would be like, why is that guy driving down the ditch? The road's right there. He's not telling me, turn the wheel. You know, in our case, direct the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be right back on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but somebody else would be there. Yeah, but he doesn't know he's in the ditch.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know that he can just turn the wheel and be back up on the road.
There's a guy trying so hard.
Yeah.
You know, he's in that ditch and he just can't see it. And someone else might stand and sit outside of it and say, you know,
yeah,
you just get out of the ditch.
Yeah. And so now it kind of feels like driving down the ditch happens in awareness, which it always is, but I guess there's some awareness to know that. And what I was just watching today was like, the energy's kind of low.
Mm.
And there's kind of a single focus, you know, feels like everything's being fed through a lens of, you know, in this case, like, you know, I can't quite get this language of life. I keep missing it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
whatever, doing it wrong or something.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a little, you know, I'm not walking quite upright. There's a little tension behind my eyes. Those are all signals, and you know, at that point I'm not really clear that I'm in a conversation and all of that, but there's all these signals that mean you're driving in a ditch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I know that there's no way to figure that out from the ditch. So, you know, I just watch myself get on the recorder and start, well, I'm noticing this, I'm noticing that. Mm-hmm. And then just because I've done that two-handed recorder so often, the recorder just goes into the left hand and there's just some reflecting and some notice, you're noticing this.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, I can feel the vehicle moving up onto the road. But there is not anyone that knows to do that or that could make that happen.
So just seeing that there's a lot, that what is going on this morning is being held in awareness. There's an awareness of the tension in the, you know, in the body and the habitual conversation that maybe things are being seen through a certain lens.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, again, as you pointed to earlier, there doesn't seem to be anybody like making a conscious decision to do that. Okay, we're going to go into awareness, but there's just life leading, and there, you see, there's reaching because of the training. I would project there's a reaching for the recorder. There's the, you know, there's that familiarity with the tools. That this is I notice all of these things. I notice these things, and it may be that we may be going into a ditch or in a ditch, and that there's these tools that are just there.
Yeah, and it's just that you just say yes.
Yes.
To those tools. Yes. There's not you can't get into a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. It's just, and that's the training too, right? So life offers some guidance, and the response is yes.
Wow.
Not like, well, later, or I don't know if I really need that, or, you know, I've already done those routes a lot, and it's just suffering. You know, and I know I want to be alive.
Yeah.
So there's just a yes. That happens pretty easily at this point.
Wow. So that reaching for the recorder is not, again, a decision of the I or the me.
Yeah.
It, again, is just life living. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
There's the recorder.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Or sometimes I'll just be, you know, walking along. I'll notice those kinds of things, like something's in me. And then I'll just hear, I'm not even on the recorder, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the uh-huh. the attention's moved, and then there's that, well, you're doing great. Keep, you know, there's just that's the conversation that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's more of a noticing that's going on rather than deciding.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's that place of seeing clearly about the process, because you can get really focused on what's not, the content of what's not working, or what I wish is different, and really believing that if I could just change that content, you know, like if I could really just learn the language of life and really tune into that better, then I would, you know, the process of calibrating has now turned into a content,
yeah,
a thing to do.
And you're just seeing that the training has resulted in just the attention on the process. And just the attention, having the attention trained over and over and over again, life has that room.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the you doing it. It's just suddenly there's that space for life to enter.
Yeah,
and say,
space.
What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, instead of that habitual pattern to go to look to the content, like, oh gosh, what needs to be fixed? What can I change?
Right. And that, you know, that place when we're practicing and we're, you know, I project we're looking to conditioned mind and saying, well, this isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like to remind myself that we're practicing creating that space.
Uh-huh.
We're not in charge of what's happening in life.
Yeah.
But we're practicing creating that space for life to live us.
Mm-hmm.
And the other really just quickly fun thing I loved about the retreat was the yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly the restorative postures.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, we were getting into these postures and then spending some time in them. And the postures were the key thing, I think, was you feel completely supported in the posture. And we'll do anything to help you feel completely supported. And then you just stay there and you don't, quote, do anything, which is so opposite a lot of my exercise.
Yes.
You know, like trying to stretch something out or trying to get a faster mile or trying to get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really a similar process of dropping out of the I, and it's like, whoa, there's an intelligence humming through this system, and all I'm doing is putting myself in the best position, which is kind of like what we do when we come on retreat and when we practice and when we do RL and we create that space. I'm just physically putting myself in the best position, following the guidance to do that, and then just letting that space be created, and that joy of intelligence knowing itself, like, whoa, how often am I missing the magic that's going on in the body, right? Wow. You know, any moment, but yeah.
So just really appreciating that opportunity to have that expressed through the physical exercise that we did, of just like to not be focused on the doing, but focused on or allowing the life to just live.
Yeah.
And restore.
And restore.
Restore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. You know what? Your name just went out, and I know Joyce. Yeah, I know it very well. Yes.
Sometimes I forget it too. This retreat's just been amazing. And conditioning has talked me out of doing recording and listening for a very long time. I've done it, but kind of a bare minimum. And the first night there was time that there was nothing happening, and it was like, maybe I can try that. So I followed the guidelines, what we were supposed to do, and then I listened, and I listened every day. And it's I've gotten over disliking my voice. And there've just been so many things that have come to the surface, and that I've just been able to have shut conditioning up and just be aware of all this that's rising. And I'm just trying to get away. This morning, the awareness was of this, it was like a big stone, and this is some of the beliefs that I've held for, well, I don't know time, so a long time. And I could see so clearly how that was keeping me down in the muck, where I just couldn't see. I had the belief that this was the way I had to do things. You know, it's like the sun got to just the right spot on the water and lit this up. And it was just this, it gives me goosebumps. It's just this opening that's the suffering. I'm choosing to stay sunk in the muck without suffering. And I don't know how I'm not going to do it, except quit listening to the voices. But it was like there was that moment to start growing. It was pretty amazing.
So there's been, you started out saying there's been some resistance to recording and listening, and yet I hear someone that has continued with recording and listening, and took advantage this morning or during the retreat of one of the gifts of being at the monastery, that spaciousness and openness and okay, not so many distractions. I'm going to pick up the recorder and record. And through hanging in there and taking those steps, there was just an awareness this morning and seeing part of what may be, you refer to it as a stone or a rock?
kind of sinking me down into the muck.
You became aware of one of the things that that keeps you from recording and listening. Just having an awareness of it. And wow, there was this opening to see that it was possible not to go and be with that, let that rock take you to that place. There was another possibility.
And it's bigger than just the recording and listening. Mm-hmm. It's the realization of how conditioning, it's more than just one thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's realizing how conditioning keeps me bound up.
Yeah.
In many different things. Mm-hmm. And it also allowed for the opening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just putting my foot out, and where it lands is where I'm going.
Putting your foot out. And you described it as like sunshine or opening, that light that came in. So, you know, and seeing that it's more than recording and listening. It's a whole process of being able to shift the attention away from that rock. And, yeah. Would you say into a possibility, into openness?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty exciting.
It is.
Is there more?
It's about all I can handle right now. Mm-hmm. Of course, if I fed more, the line would totally disappear, and who knows.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jay. That's right.
So, this morning, the card that I picked from the What Universe Are You Creating deck,
mm-hmm,
was exuberance.
Exuberance.
And I just love this synchronicity of life when we're paying attention to it, because it suggests itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reading is all about how you cannot help but experience exuberance in spring.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, what a lovely line for the retreat.
Exactly.
Wow. Right? We're in seasons of joy, spring, and the card that I pick up is exuberance.
Mm-hmm.
And exuberance means being full of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the recording assignment was just look around you and see how much life is lifing in joy. And it's like, it was just one of those, you take the stopper off and it all whooshes out.
Wow.
Because every blade of, I mean, you just have to look around and the quantity and the quality and the multiplicity of it. It's like, oh my God, you can't keep it in.
You can't keep it in. I can hardly keep it in listening to you. You know,
it's just one of those. Oh, and the joy was not just in being present to the multiplicity, but being present to the awareness that suggested the being aware of the joy.
Yes.
Right, of that lifing process.
Yes, yes. That lifing process and that awareness that, I mean, just encompasses everything. And how supportive to pull the exuberance card this morning.
Yes.
And I love that, what you said about taking the stopper out.
Yeah.
You know, and just because it's all there. It's where we live in exuberance.
Yeah.
And it's only that stopper that, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That stopper of identity.
Uh-huh.
Because part of what the reading in the reading was, there's a life force, the vitality that quickens within, mm-hmm, that can only be expressed in from this form.
Uh-huh.
Right, and if it isn't,
uh-huh,
expressed, then the world loses.
Wow! Yes.
And and that place of the self-consciousness is civilized,
mm-hmm,
but that which deadens,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
That was one of the things. Anyway, it was just wonderful, and it brought me to, I have been reflecting on the working meditation assignment yesterday, mm-hmm. of meeting the courtyard, mm-hmm. and my predominant emotion as I did it was, what's the point?
As you were doing the task.
Yeah. It's like these things are going to be back there in 15 seconds. and in the condition process, which I go to, which is you have to be productive and efficient, yeah. and there must be a point to doing everything you mm-hmm. do. What's the point in spending an hour and 15 minutes on weeding the courtyard? But in that reflection of exuberance, it was just that life's going to come back. You know, uh-huh. it just is. Uh-huh. These things uh-huh. don't look at it and go, I'm a weed, I'm going to get pulled, so I'm not going to express myself again.
They just keep coming back with exuberance.
Yes, and to me, it was such a metaphor for the conditioned process trying to stifle life, and life just absolutely exerting itself mm-hmm. without boundaries. Without, mm-hmm. it's like, I'm a little weed. I'm just going to go grow through chips, grow through rocks, grow through the fact that this woman is kneeling down, pulling all of this stuff mm-hmm. up. And it was just the most extraordinary, it's what Cher was talking about, that these things come in disconnected clues, and the whole picture becomes clear. Because what dropped in is I had the blessed knowledge of emptiness in that moment of putting those things together, because the emptiness is always alive. The form is what disappears. And so the exuberance of life is coming into form without any attachment to mm-hmm. the form remaining, because it so knows that it will always, it's eternal, it's always there. And the gratitude for that experience was just out of this world.
Wow. Out of this world.
Yes,
kneeling
truly.
It's truly
empty.
Yes. Yeah. So there in the weed bed. In the weed bed, having this total experience of how life just lives.
Yes.
Irrespective of form. Uh-huh. You know? Those weed forms can be pulled out and life just bubbles up over and over and over again in this form and that form. And to just see that, how, you know?
Yes.
Just and to the blessed emptiness.
Yes.
That just is manifesting continually.
Yes. Well, the exhilarating part of it is the synchronicity, because mm-hmm. I didn't get the assignment on exuberance before I pulled the weeds. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That I had to have that that it was what we were having, that first conversation, mm-hmm. when transformation is happening in a way that we may not be aware of. Uh-huh. And then when we become aware of it, the gift is even greater.
Yes.
And so the sequence, how beautifully yes. life is orchestrating yeah. that experience of yeah. what we need to learn.
Yes. Would you say that there was like no context for that? I mean, it gave you the whole experience.
It just
delivered the...
The clue at the end.
Yeah, the clue.
Yeah, the clue. Uh-huh. And the last thing I'll say in that, following that vein, for the first time, it dropped in not to recite the daily recollection, at blessed is the knowledge of emptiness, uh-huh. but to listen to it. Uh-huh. I have never listened to the daily recollection being said in the hall. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And it was such a curious juxtaposition to emptiness, because yeah. I had to go still
yes.
in order to receive the voice
yes.
of everyone else.
Wow.
And yet, if everyone's voice was still, would we receive it in the first place? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You know?
Wow.
And it's that beautiful form and emptiness again, where mm-hmm. you just listen to, yes, something has to speak mm-hmm. in order for something mm-hmm. to listen, mm-hmm. but stillness is the... And then when everything stops, there's the emptiness, and it doesn't. It's a religious experience.
Completely religious experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, to just allow, to have the daily recollection without doing it, and also to know that it's just, again, not just life expressing. There's some doing, there's some stillness, and to just sit and receive.
And truly, we don't do anything, because mm-hmm. in this way, I've already trained myself, because yeah. all of the training is available. Mm-hmm. I just have to pay attention, as mm-hmm. we said before, and
yeah.
life just enlightens.
You don't have to do anything. Life is just bubbling up in its exuberance, and it's not it's not up to us. You know, there's nothing we need to do. Just allow that exuberance. Yeah. Thank you. Colin.
Yes, well, I was saying something about inclusivity. That when we were doing the working meditation, it just felt really inclusive to me. And I suppose that was my experience of feeling very included. Uh-huh. And I was seeing the adequacy of everybody. And so that it's all offered in unconditional love. That was the experience I had of that. So that seemed really important to come here and receive that mm-hmm. for myself, and mm-hmm. to see it or project it mm-hmm. in other people. So yeah, I'm sort of very grateful for that. It was great anyway. But one of the things is that when I'm at home, you can like get the monastery newsletter and you hear the radio show, and it's like, well, it's those people sort of kind of up there. That's what they do. And I think I was getting caught up in a conversation that, well, it's very good what that they do, but it's not what I do. And so I had that experience that it's actually quite easy. You just sort of step into the kitchen, you put on your apron, and your hat, and you're there, aren't you? and so it's just, I feel I've just sort of stepped into that world, and on this retreat, mm-hmm. because of the work in meditation and the monks are here mm-hmm. in the kitchen, it's kind of really brought me much closer to the monastery, and it's not out there. It's mm-hmm. it is inclusive, and it's mm-hmm. it's not, you don't have to, there's not some huge hurdle that you have to, you just turn up and mm-hmm. it kind of happens, and it's all offered in just huge kindness. So mm-hmm. But you might also say that about life, that it is also offered in unconditional love, right. and you've just got to turn up, and mm-hmm. I am adequate, everybody's adequate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's great for me. Yeah.
So there's a lot there. So just really, you know, having come to this place where, you know, you listen to the radio show, and you listen to, you know, get the newsletter, but the monastery was becoming a little distant. You know, there was that place, and then there was Colin in your life. And to just move into that place of, well, you mentioned unconditional love and adequacy, and just feeling that, wow, there is not the monastery, and there's me, and, you know, there's not that. Just feeling that place of inclusiveness, and just stepping into it and realizing it's a metaphor for life too. That, you know, it's we're included. There's that inclusiveness. There's being that held in kindness, you mentioned, and unconditional love. And you mentioned just the simple act of like walking into the kitchen, putting on the apron and the hat, and boom, we're there. And it sounds like you're just, we're referring to what happens with just a shift of the attention as well. That, you know, to just, that the attention went to, here I am. I'm part of, what was the first thing you said in the beginning? You probably don't remember, but it was, that's okay. But it was something along those lines of just being included. and how that's possible for all of us.
Yes, and it's something that Sherry says about, it's having that direct experience of it. It's always somebody telling you you're included, but it's not the same as actually going there and just kind of feeling the kindness and, you know, and just feeling it and experiencing it. So I think that was what made it special, was just having that experience of it.
Doing whatever it took to get to the monastery and placing yourself in the, let's see, what's the word? You placed yourself in the possibility of having this experience. You gave yourself that gift. And there it was, you know, to have that experience of feeling included.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it's great. Is there any more?
Well, I think it's just that thing about participating in practice. Uh-huh. Is that you, and it's the thing that struck me. It was that thing about the inclusive that everybody's. It's a kind of a Sangha experience. It's not like a hierarchical thing. Yeah. It's like everybody's here. I'm here. It's group on Sunday, and I'm quite new, and I'm sitting here contributing, and along with more experienced. Practitioners as well, and it just kind of feels, it's not like you've got to, you know, do all this work to be able to, we all do work in meditation, and then you come here and everybody shares their experience, and it's not that one person's experience is more it makes me feel very included through that. So it's great.
So just feeling really included by participating. And, you know, seeing that it's not hierarchical, that it's just showing up and participating and realizing, you know, I'm part of Sangha. Here I am. I'm included. That's great.
Thank you.
Well. My Monica, names are coming slow this morning, but I recognize you.
I really like the word exuberance. I think that's been kind of the hallmark of the retreat for me. And it really did feel like a fresh new perspective. And there was just everything, every activity, I just had this approach like, I can't wait to see what's next. Like, what's the monastery going to cook up for us now? It's a new perspective to approach things like that. But every single thing, there was just anticipation and, like, curiosity and can't wait and no dread and no real resistance. The only moment of resistance was in the courtyard when it was time to stop, because I was like, no, it's not 5:15. I still have 45 minutes of waiting. But just everything was just felt like that, and it really, like I said, it the reminders of not thinking and not doing and not being and just really having that direct experience of just approaching life. Or everything without, bringing anything, just really being in the moment, I think, really in a way that I haven't experienced before. And the yoga also just allowing, I have a lot of preconceived things about yoga, and I've done a lot of yoga, and I have, my preferences in yoga, and just, like, receiving the joint sequence, there was so much in it, and if I had thought about it, I would have missed, because it sounded like, that's like, I don't know, boring, or it's not going to do anything, or what's the point, but then I just was like, okay, this is what we're doing, and it was so powerful, and anyway, I loved it, every minute of it, and even on the path, I took a walk on the new path, and it has a sign, and then at the bottom it says enjoy. And I was like, oh, enjoy, like in joy. So I've always thought of that as like, oh, enjoy yourself while you do that activity because it's enjoyable. But it was like, oh, just to go in joy. And I'll just never look it up or the same thing. So anyway, it's just amazing all the way around and really full of gratitude and it's great.
So just really... it sounds like practicing that process. You noticed this morning with the discussion that you were practicing that process of exuberance during this retreat, and how much fun. I mean, this is my projection. How much fun it was to just like live in that anticipation, like what's the monastery gonna, you know, cook up next, and to just enjoy all the things, the surprises, and seeing the advantage of, you know, like, if, for instance, coming to yoga without that preconceived notion about, well, this is what I like and what I don't like, and, you know, this, you know, it, really being able to receive what was presented without that story going on, and receive even the sign at the path in joy. Without that story, being open and being present to a new interpretation of that word, which is forever changed, yeah. Which has forever changed that word for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's just really great to have the direct experience of that, uh-huh. You know, so anyway, last recordings about that.
Yeah, just going back to the last conversation, you know, there's just no substitute for having the direct experience
yeah.
of getting to the monastery and participating in this way. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. Jodine.
Well, I wanted to pick up a conversation that we started about work during the retreat. Because I've been thinking about it, you know, as we're working, quote unquote. And I have to say that like thinking about all the different organizations that my work, you know, has contributed to or been for or, you know, whatever, you know, in my adult life, this organization, this practice, every contribution I bring to it, I feel like is so wholehearted, in a way that is just, it's transformative, really, and that I haven't experienced, really, in other settings.
So, noticing the opportunity with practice, it sounds like, in the monastery to really participate wholeheartedly, which you notice is kind of lacking in other companies or things supported that you associate with in your life?
Yeah, like, you know, companies I've worked for, quote-unquote, and for the paycheck. It's such a different... just feels so different.
Yeah.
And I also had we talked about how sometimes working feels like something that you don't really want to do, and you're just kind of there, you know, to clock in and clock out or whatever, and then go do things that you really want to do. And I would say for part of my life, I have had that attitude before, not like all the time, not in every job, but certainly in my most recent job, you know, I would complain to anyone who would listen about, you know, what's wrong with this job. And then I had the really... unexpected experience of being diagnosed with Parkinson's disease a number of years ago, and pretty much being told that I couldn't do my job anymore. And And it was just this moment, like, what? And in a way, I got it that I was like, I was really attached to the suffering around that job.
Yeah.
And the idea of like, now you don't have to suffer anymore, was, you know, conditioning was like, huh? So I guess I've just been thinking of that whole, how things got turned on their heads for me, and how, you know, that was kind of the beginning of a process where I found a way that I could continue to work, which was a long process that required a lot of, you know, and where, you know, this job that I'd been so ambivalent about, you know, I found myself like in an office with a lawyer trying to get the lawyer to keep the job for me.
This job that had just, you complained about that anybody would listen, seeing that became the most important thing, you know, and you saw how conditioning had just been a setup for suffering, and it wasn't, not willing to let it go.
Yeah, and that the and that there was something there about livelihood that is not at all, you know, that doesn't have to be suffering, that there's something about livelihood that's very, like, important to this person, to a person. So it's been this like giant education in so many things, and I think one of the big things is it's really made me appreciate the I don't know.
It made you appreciate the I don't know, and I'm wondering, you started out talking about, you know, the wholehearted participation that you experienced here at the monastery, and just, you know, it sounds like it's all, you're also having an appreciation for the benefit of wholehearted participation.
Yes, right, and that in the best of circumstances in my life, I have felt that in my work.
Yeah. That's the best of circumstances, to have that wholehearted participation. It sounds like it's kind of,
going well, ahead. The in terms of like participating wholehearted in something, I guess maybe it's just because I personally, and so many people, have spent so many of their waking hours, you know, at work. It's like when those two things come together, that's been like the magic, times,
to bring that process of wholehearted participation to what you're doing is magic.
Yes. And a really important thing for me to realize also is that, you know, the process, this participation process, say, is not something that I can't experience except at work, like, you know, at some point, I won't be doing what I'm doing now, or working at all, and it's really that process that I was going for, that I can still go for, and find ways.
Absolutely, to do that. It's that first conversation, isn't it? It's like, oh, it's a prop. You know, we get to practice the process, as if it had to be the content, you know, of this particular job or this, you know, oh, what suffering is in that? But to practice that participation of wholehearted, you know, that process of wholehearted participation is really, it sounds to me like what you're saying is what the heart wants, that kind of wholehearted participation.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to, and I don't know what that's going to look like.
Yeah.
Today.
Exactly.
Even, you know, it can just be this day-by-day thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Kind of back to, I don't know what the monastery is going to cook up for us. And I don't know what life's going to cook up for us. But I can participate wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a wonderful retreat.
Yeah, wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan. Anna.
There are so many beautiful things about this retreat, and part of the experience is just how dynamically in tune with life it's been. You know, when it was pouring with rain, we sat.
Mm-hmm.
When it wasn't pouring with rain, we worked outside. And that was felt like part of the anticipation and excitement, like how is life going to, you know, move this, and that like flexibility to respond to it. And
that flexibility piece is important, isn't it?
Yes.
Because if we would have been so stuck on a schedule where we were going to be in the courtyard,
mm-hmm.
you know, what a lot of suffering. But to have that flexibility of like, it's raining, we sit.
Yeah.
The sun's shining, we go to the courtyard.
Yeah, yeah. And how everything just felt so taken care of mm-hmm. like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, really, really wonderful. And I was noticing that too with the experience of the yoga practice and the process around that. That, it was like when it was appropriate to do like gentle restorative postures,
mm-hmm.
that was what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And when it was appropriate to do sun salutations, that's what we did. And I was just like feeling the receiving of that process, because I noticed that I, have a daily commitment to practice yoga, and it's like cause for great celebration that there is a keeping of that commitment, and it's now like in the bones, it's non-negotiable. And I also noticed that it's become like almost like such a groove that it's like a limitation, like
mm-hmm.
doing the same thing every day
mm-hmm.
and not being like dynamically in tune life in that same way.
Interesting.
And in the yoga classes that we've done during the retreat, I've learned so many new things and had the experience of, oh wow, there's no strength there at all because I'm in this group of always doing the same
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
And to just receive that and have that excitement, if that's going to be the commitment now, to put 1 month ahead in the calendar, are you still strengthening that? And are you,
mm-hmm.
just to shake up those grooves that awareness has been brought to you as grooves. It's just so fun, and part of that exuberant spring, fresh new perspective experience. So just so grateful for the whole retreat, that whole thing.
The whole retreat, and it's just so great how life just shakes things up by giving this yoga class, and then there's the awareness to see, maybe there's this, my yoga practice, even though I kept the commitment,
mm-hmm.
maybe has gotten a little stodgy, I would say. But it's just like,
not open to
input from life. And suddenly there's some new input. And then there's the presence to pick it up. And there's the enthusiasm. Like, great.
Instead of the resistance conversation, of course, there's no strength here. This is so hard, I can't do it. But instead, the next time we might get the chance to practice this, together in a retreat, to have it as to be able to notice the difference, to be able to, that's possible, and to see that modeled by,
Yeah, that it's possible that this, this can be incorporated.
And integrated.
And
mm-hmm.
then the excitement is to see where that goes.
Yeah.
That strength, what comes out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Joan.
I just had a realization that the reason that I came to this particular retreat was because it included working, and I'm very comfortable working,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like I can really contribute and feel welcome working.
Mm-hmm.
Expressing myself verbally, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been avoiding the other retreats for that reason.
Uh-huh.
So there's something about welcoming myself to life and not hiding. Wow. And I don't have to hide when I work. I'm very comfortable doing that.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So I'm so grateful. Mm-hmm. I feel so welcome here. I've been away for about almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. I was trying another practice, and this was just so welcoming. Mm-hmm. And spring, I mean, and quiet, and just the thought of going back to the frenzy of the city was like, and people running red lights, and you know, it's like craziness. It's such a contrast. It's such an incredible contrast. But I had a funny experience. I had some shoes sitting out there, but I was just sitting there for a few days, and I put them on to go for a walk, and I felt something in the toe, and I thought, you know, this can't be a rock. There's no way for a rock to get in there. And I shook it out, and there were two beetles fell out. They've been, you know, celebrating spring in my I'm projecting. And they were fine, you know, even though my foot had been in there. You know, I shook them out and they, you know, walked away. I felt a little bad that I disturbed them. But and then taking a walk this morning, went out to the end of the property there, and I was walking back and I was hearing gunshots off in the distance. And I was, you know, resisting it a little bit, and then I was thinking, well, I mean, this is like life. There's this here, and then there's gunshots off in the distance. It's like, this is the work, I guess. It's like accepting that there's the monastery, and this peace, and this welcomeness. And then there are gunshots off in the distance, or you know, closer to home. So I'm grateful for everything. I'm grateful for the food. I'm grateful for the monks. I'm grateful for the yoga. I'm grateful for the guidance, for spring, for going against conditioning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, thank you.
So much to be grateful for. And and that you notice that this retreat, there was an opening because you saw that it was about work. And someone said, I can do work. And then in that participation, just feeling, it's, I think you said the welcoming, the welcome, the door open to welcoming,
yes,
this human as she is, you know? That she maybe doesn't have such an easy time speaking up. She has an easy time with work. And so that, you know, that there was just this opportunity to embrace her, and there was this welcoming. You felt welcomed at the monastery, and it sounds like there was also just the welcoming of Joan. That, you know, mm-hmm, and just a lot of gratitude for that. Just a lot of gratitude.
Very much.
And noticing the shots, the gunshot this morning, and realizing, you know, there's the peace of the monastery, there's the gunshots, there's just, you know, it's all part of this whole, and to look at acceptance and It reminded me when you said that of the red lights. You know, there's just these things that we just wish weren't happening. You know, the hustle and bustle of the city. There's the, but you know, what is it again? What is it like to? We have this experience of being at the monastery and practice that, that welcoming, that gratitude, and to carry that with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob?
So I've been working with Be Here.
Be Here?
All this week. And I've been saying, but I don't know if I can articulate it, is that it's really, you know, it seems like it's the only choice to actually participate in life. Mm-hmm. You know, that I've been looking at how, you know, there's just what is actually true here in this moment. And then condition, you know, and then if someone says, if there's like, well, anything, like if someone says, well, what would you like to do? Right? And you go up here to figure that out. And it's just, there's no connection between the two. Mm-hmm. And yet there's this uh-huh. belief that this is somehow going to help, is going to somehow be part of something that's here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And just looking at how it's just, the whole idea of choice I just have been looking at. You know, it's like there's a choice to be here where something will be revealed, or there's a choice to be here, which is not, you know, it's like kind of a fake choice, where like there's this like figuring it out in this disconnect from what actually, you know, what's actually going on.
Wow. So just looking at those two places for people that can't see the recorder, but you know, to be here, you know, here, or to be here, as you point to that, you know, conditioned mind and that kind of figuring stuff out, and what a disconnect that is to be up there trying to figure out something imaginary. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems, and you're just looking at it, it's like the only place to be is like here.
Yeah, and I've been trying to fix something that hasn't allowed itself to be fixed.
And something external.
Something external. Yeah. And I can see in that, in the process of doing it, there's like a process to like, you know, what actually was really clear is like, here's the path to working on, not to fix it, but to like, to, you know, to like, here's like a, here's what dropped in. It's like, well, this is what, I think we would do this, and then we do that, and we do that, and we do that. And we'll see at each step where we go, right? And so that was really clear. And then I do one thing, doesn't work. And often the experience is, what did you do wrong? Mm-hmm. Why didn't it work? Mm-hmm. Just denying that, just like, okay, well, we tried something, it didn't work, which is all that happened.
Right. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Wow. What a shift. To just, it's right here. It just, you know, we just did this thing that dropped in to do. That's all we did. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, you know, mean anything. It doesn't, yeah.
Yeah, and the not being here is what I'm really familiar with. It's like, well, here's this thing to fix, and it gets fixed. And there's like no path, there's no information, uh-huh. and yet I'm responsible for doing that,
uh-huh.
for fixing
uh-huh.
it. Uh-huh. And that's that. That's really that place of like, you know, control, that yeah. responsibility.
Yeah. When there's the action taken and the thing is fixed, there's like this the reinforcement of control. Like I did that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and bring it back to be here. It's like, well, when I'm in that condition process, what gets blocked out of that is anything that could come in. Any information, uh-huh. Any experimentation, willingness,
yeah.
you know, which is all going to inform whatever happens.
Yeah.
But the condition process is just to block all that out,
yeah.
Because well, it doesn't. That's not important. It just needs to happen.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And that the belief is always like, well, that's going to lead somewhere other than suffering.
Yeah, the belief that the conditioned process is going to lead somewhere, and boy, talk about taking away the exuberance of life. There's just no room for information to come in that whole experience, you know, learning or any of it. It's,
And just looking at kind of reinforcing the process is that the, and I was talking about this earlier in the week. It's like, it's how important it is to actually to get here and to participate and to have an experience other than that conditioned process. Because the experience I've been having with this thing is that that there has just been a willingness just to like, let's do this. Well, then let's do this. Let's do that. And I lost it. But it's essentially working. The thing isn't fixed, but the process is working towards something. That, you know, an outcome.
Would you say the process is working toward presence? I mean.
Yeah. So it's fun to, you know, obviously to be here in this environment where that is supported. Because out there, you know, fixing things. It's like in like the urgency of like, okay, well, here's the thing, and now we just got to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's for what's rewarded.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That conditioned system and that belief that you have the control over it. Mm-hmm. And that if you're the right person, you could fix it. And what a different thing to be in an environment that supports being here.
Yeah, and for a long time I was in environments where I was rewarded for fixing things.
Absolutely.
At great expense to the human.
Yeah, I wonder, why isn't this, why don't I feel better about this?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you.